The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also, go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired around about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat?' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I chose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know what some of you might be thinking after hearing this parable. You're sitting here saying, I come here on a regular basis. Maybe you're part of a family legacy here, right? Family's always sitting in certain pews. You're doing what you can to support the mission of the church. You certainly could make the argument, maybe you wouldn't say it out loud because you're good, humble Lutherans, but you could certainly make the argument that, juggling more than some of my other Christian friends and making sure I have time for church life and other things in life. Certainly there are neighbors that don't feel it's necessary at all to work in God's vineyard. And God's going to treat everybody the same in the end? That doesn't seem right. You don't have to say it out loud. I'm saying it for you, right? You're thinking it. I'm giving you a pass here. But this parable affirms what Lutheran Christians are known for pointing out, that our works do not earn our favor with God. Again, we're given a parable that emphasizes the mercy of God. We heard that last week with the debt forgiveness. And now we're pondering a generosity that conflicts with our understanding of fairness in the world. Now, some ancient theologians believe that the ones hired at different times represent the different generations of Israel: Adam, Moses, Abraham, and the last hour, Gentiles. So if you were thinking about fairness, like, we're part of that last hour, right? So now that might change how you hear it a little bit now. Like, oh no, this is good. This is right and just. And just before this parable, Peter is speaking on behalf of the disciples and says to Jesus in chapter 19, verse 27, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." So Jesus might be speaking about the original followers and later converts. But in each idea, we see this idea that God is just towards everyone. Hard work, feeling like we deserve what we've supposedly earned, And we're reminded of parables like this that show that God is not biased to the deserving and the undeserving. God continues to seek us out, desiring everyone to experience the benefits of the kingdom whenever we take part. In Romans chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says, "For God shows no partiality." In Acts chapter 10, 34, Peter says, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality." So we get lost when we focus on our work and not God's generosity. That's where we get caught up in all this. Now, in the parable, the agreement is for a daily wage. When we go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, the prayer that Jesus teaches the disciples is for God to give us each day what? Our daily bread, right? So what we're talking about here is enough for one's daily bread. That's the wage that was negotiated. As I refer to often, Luther's Small Catechism, daily bread is something that God desires for all people. He even explicitly says, even evil people. And daily bread in that section has a long list of things that are needed to provide necessity and nourishment for our bodies. So now let's think about how this parable can rub us the wrong way, myself included. I want to be clear on this, right? I stand here today and tell you, God is generous. Who here is going to agree? Disagree, right? Everybody, you might even throw an amen, right? God is generous. I stand here and tell you that God desires all people to have daily bread. Anybody going to disagree with that? No, you agree. I stand here and tell you that daily bread means all things that are necessary for life that include food, drink, clothing, and shelter. Wait a minute. Aren't people supposed to be working and earning those things? Ah, now we're hitting some of the rub here, right? Now it's something that this doesn't seem fair from an economic standpoint. Dorothy Day was part of a Catholic worker movement and is known for her activism in social justice campaigns that cared for the poor and the homeless. And regarding this parable, she said, "Jesus spoke of a living wage, not equal pay for equal work, in the parable of those who came at the first and the 11th hour." The inbreaking of God's kingdom is a threat to the world because it seeks to ensure that all people are cared for, as opposed to seeing the competitive struggle and inequality that we experience in our marketplace as fair and just and not just inherently sinful. It makes us uncomfortable because we're always tempted to put our faith and trust in what we are doing and not what God has done and what God is doing. You can't earn God's love. You can't pay for God's mercy. And now if you're sitting here and you insist to put your faith and trust in you alone, I would remind you that in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is, but it goes on. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we look at parables like this that describe God's mercy and generosity and think that it just isn't fair, let's look to the cross and ponder how unfair that is, how unjust that is, and give thanks for the work and faithfulness of Christ that we are given eternal life as a gift, not for anything we do, but for God has done in Jesus Christ. We put our faith and work in the work of Christ, not in our work. And the cross then becomes a testament to the mercy and generosity of God. When we think about who deserves and who doesn't deserve, I'm going to make it easy for you. God doesn't, he says it's everybody, right? So I've just saved you a lot of stress and mental capacity. God says, you put those categories together, not me. Everybody is deserving. And so we must look to our life and ministry in the church and our life as Christians, not as work that earns us anything, but the blessing to be able to work in God's vineyard to begin with. That there are blessings to be working in this vineyard. That we can be signposts to others of the God's kingdom that is here on earth. that when we gather for worship, we don't rejoice in our work, but in God's work. We aren't reminded about how wonderful we are, but how merciful God is. Through the means of grace that we receive in word and sacrament, we don't receive what we're worth by the rules of this broken world. But in God's vineyard, in God's kingdom, we're worth a lot to our God. And God wants to hold us as close as possible and to remind us always of God's eternal and abiding love, that God is with us always. So some Christians want to be workers in the vineyard because they're told the lie that they will prosper in wealth and health. Some Christians want to work in the vineyard because they're told the lie that their work will earn them favor with God. Some Christians want to work in the vineyard because they're told that they need to be afraid of God's wrath, and if they don't work hard enough, God might not love them anymore. We share the good news of our faith that we get to be workers in God's vineyard because our God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. We get to share the love of God, who is gracious and merciful, and live a life that is a testament to God's steadfast love. Not worried about what we're going to get next, not worried if God's love is conditional, not afraid if God is fickle, but responding to the God who is love. Think about those different characterizations that we see lived out in Christianity in our society. Working in God's kingdom because it might get me health and wealth? Me. Working in God's kingdom because I might get more favor with me. Afraid that God might not like me. But responding to God's love? Oh, it's about something else now. It's a life grounded in love for God and neighbor. It's a whole new way of living out our faith. It's a whole new way of even understanding the nature of God. Notice in the Lord's Prayer, we don't say, "Give me this day my daily bread." What do we say? "Give us this day our daily bread." We pray that God's desire and generosity for all people, the deserving and the undeserving, the good and the evil, will be given and received. Now I think about how our feeding ministries are a testament to God's generosity. That desire for daily bread for all people. And that invitation that we've even been given recently to expand. Our midweek meals are growing. Our backpack ministry expanded this year into another school. And there's practical aspects that goes along with that. We wonder, are we going to have enough? Perhaps it's some of that farmer mentality, right? Thinking pretty reserved and conservatively. I think the blessing I've learned from people here is we don't have a lot. We always have enough, right? Isn't that beautiful? That's God's kingdom, right? We don't have a lot. We always have enough, right? Through the generosity of this congregation, more and more people in our community can have daily bread that God desires and that we pray for. So may we not forget to give thanks for the daily bread that we receive every day. May we look to the cross and give thanks for God's mercy that gives us new and eternal life. And let's also rejoice in the fact that God's not fair. Isn't that wonderful? God isn't fair. God isn't fair. But God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Thanks be to God. Amen.